Amen. Good to hear you guys singing on that. That was beautiful. All right, the next song we're going to do is Waymaker. I think most of us know this one, so I'd just love to hear your guys' voice as we sing. Encourage you. We've got two more songs here. I just encourage you as we sing these to just lift your offering up to the Lord. It doesn't have to be grand. It doesn't have to be anything you think it should be. Just to Jesus, it's just private between you and him. That can look big and it can look small, but I just encourage you to just draw near to him. You guys, everything is tough and dark, and I think a lot of us experience a lot of difficult things, and I just say the one thing that I feel like has been getting me and people I know who are suffering through is just leaning on Jesus and just asking him to carry us, because we're just not strong enough. If you're waiting for the moment for you to be strong enough, it's just never going to happen. Through Jesus, you can do it, and through Jesus, you can survive it, but he is really, truly the only answer. And so I just encourage you, this next song is called In Jesus' Name, God of Possible. I think it's just a really incredible song. So I just encourage you guys to listen to the words as we sing.
Jesus, you brought heaven down.
your love was greater. What could say it more us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing comes. Father, you are good when there's nothing good in us, Lord. You are powerful. You are beautiful. Your name sends the enemy running, God. And we just ask that that same power, Lord, that Jesus had here on earth, that he gave us his Holy Spirit, that we can walk with that, Lord, that we can come alive in the truth of your gospel, God, that you're coming again and we don't have to stay dead. We don't have to stay in our sin, God. You are so worthy of us dancing and screaming and praising you, Lord. Thank you so much for Jesus, and thank you so much for the gift, God. We love you, and we praise your name. Amen.
Thank you, band. Thank you guys so much. Praise the Lord. It is good to be here. My name's Pastor Jeff, and I'm so glad that you're here today. We're in a series. We're called The Unseen Battle. I got to take a drink. I'm sorry, my voice. The Unseen Battle, and the series that we've been talking about has been all out of Ephesians 6. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. A couple little business things before we get into our lesson today. If you're here today and you have a prayer request, you're here today and you want us to know something that's going on in your life, please sign this up. If you're here today and you'd like a text from us, every week we send out text about what's going on in our church. Be sure and fill one of these out. And if you're here visiting today, be sure and fill one of those out. Wednesday, one of our people who came here for a long time, Dennis and Helen Kress, the Kress family and their grandkids, and came here for a long time when we first started, and then Dennis and Helen and their brother, they came here very faithfully. Dennis passed this last week, and he was a policeman, an Indy policeman. He's also a military veteran. He's going to be buried on Wednesday, and if you know him or you'd like to be a part of that, it is this Wednesday at the Forest Lawn Cemetery up on 135. And it starts at 1:30. Visitation is 11:30 to 1:30. And so I'd encourage you to pray for this family, because Dennis was a kind of the patriarch of the family, and so they're going to miss him. He had Alzheimer's, and it took him in a long, 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 hard process. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you, and we thank you for the way that you take care of us. We thank you in spite of our circumstances, you are still God. In spite of the things that are wrong in our world and the evil that we feel and the evil that we sense, you are still light. You are still love. You are still mercy. You are still forgiveness in a fallen world. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your steadfastness. We thank you that you are always who you are every day, night and day, every day for all eternity and for all the eternity past. We thank you that we can come and we can worship you now. We thank you that we can open up your word and see some more keys about how to live our life in this time of uncertainty, in this time where we are all wishing that we lived in the Garden of Eden again. And we're hoping for the Garden of Eden, but we seem to be living in the streets and the streets of just horribleness and so many heartaches and so many pains and so many difficulties. And so, God, we just pray that today that you would help us to keep our eyes focused on you, that you would speak to the eyes of our heart. We love you and we praise your name. Amen. Well, we're in this series, as I said, called The Unseen Battle. And today I want to talk about the unseen army in the battle. And it's the good thing, the good part of the unseen army. It's a part of the army that's not seen, but it's us, the church. And it's us, the church, that can pray. So the next few minutes, we're going to talk about going and sharing about prayer. I believe prayer is the water for our faith. It's what makes things grow. It's what brings it all together. It's a thing that a lot of us talk about, and we kind of acknowledge prayers, and we say, you know, I'll pray for you pray for me, things like that. It's important. And yet, we're all thinking, there's got to be a lot more to prayer than what we do. What we say. Be very careful when you say you're going to pray for somebody and you don't, you know. If you say, I'll pray for you, or, you know, you get on Facebook and do that mandatory or that it seems like thing you need to say, I'll pray for you, and you stick it in there and you don't, that's kind of a farce, and that's kind of lying, and it is lying. Be very careful. Prayer is a huge thing. It's something that God intended for us to have this power and this strength that we just don't treat it as such. We don't treat it that it has the power that it has. And so prayer tends to be a thing that we treat as a last resort. And we always, you know, when we're on our deathbed or we're on our sickbed or we're in an incredible situation, we're like, God, get me out of this. And those kinds of prayers are listened to. God hears them. But prayer is much, much, much more than that. And it's kind of the tie of all this. We talked a whole lot last week about armor and how armor is so important, that you're clothed from head to toe and you've got every part of your body taken care of, protected. But prayer is what keeps it all together. Prayer is where the power comes in. So my thesis, if we had to say what my thesis today is, it's that there's an unseen battle. And if you're not fighting naked, like we talked about last week, then God has also given Christians an unseen army, and it is strong and it is effective. And that army is the church praying for each other, the church intercessing for each other, the church standing in the gap for each other. That's what God has called the church to do. We fight with the power of God, and sometimes we act like God doesn't have any power. Paul wraps this up with this great little ditty at the end of Ephesians 6 on prayer. And he says, you need to pray for others. And then he says, you need to pray for me also. Because prayer is where the battle is won. It's the unseen army that takes on the unseen enemy. It is where everything is defeated and starts at. There's a great Old Testament story, not my favorite, but it's one of my favorites. I've got a lot of favorites, and I know I stand up here and a lot of preachers stand up, but that's my favorite. Well, this is a one that's really close to the top. And it's a story that we find in, I think I put it on there, didn't I? Did I put it on? Yeah. No, I did. Yeah, Exodus 17, 10, 9. And there's a little phrase, and I'll get to that phrase here, but let me give you some backstory before I get there. The Israelites have been slaves for generations in Exodus, where we meet them in this place. And they've been slaves, and so many people have been over them. And Moses sends Joshua onto a battlefield again to go to war. And the Amalekites and Moses are all gathered there. And Moses decides that he's going to not go into battle. And so he sends his general out to fight the battle. And he walks up the hill. And it says in Exodus, they climbed the hill. I want you to remember that today. Let's all say that. They climbed a hill. They climbed a hill. And I might have looked to the soldiers at the time that their leader was going to a safe place. Let's get Moses up to the safe place so nobody gets him. And no, that's not the way it was at all. It was a place that Moses was going to engage in a battle. It was a place that Moses was going to engage in a battle. In fact, that was the whole reason why Joshua was going to win this battle. At some point, Moses is standing up on the hill, and God tells him to raise his hands. And he notices every time his hands are up in the air, that Joshua and his people are just surging forward. They're kicking the enemies, you know, it's going down. And so he keeps his arms up and just keeps praying. And pretty soon, I mean, if I did a little illustration right now and had you all hold your arms up for about 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, you'd be going, can I put them down now? You know, maybe a minute. You'd be like, no, I'm getting tired. Moses got tired. That's a picture of the church. And that's a picture of sometimes our prayer life. Because we understand prayer. We understand that prayer is powerful. We understand that prayer is what we're supposed to do. And we talk to God. And we come and we raise our hands to God and we pray. And we get tired. And we need other people to come alongside. Because then the story goes that Moses, they noticed his helpers around him, noticed that he was letting his arms go down to his side. So they went and they held his arms up. That's a picture of the church. That's a picture of the church. It's not beating each other up. It's not slamming other people because they got things going on in their life. It's not saying you're worse than I am because you got bigger sins or more sins. It's holding up the other people. And we hold each other up in prayer. That's the vehicle by which God intended for us to win the battle. With the unseen army. We are the unseen army. We're the army that cannot be seen, but it is heard in through all the spiritual realms. When God gave us prayer, he knew that it was going to be that which took us to victory. And so Moses, basically, they go through and they realize that they got to keep Moses' arms up. And so they hold him up and they win the battle. What a neat story. They climb the hill. Church, we have to climb the hill. And we have to climb the hill for other people. And we have to climb the hill for ourselves. And we have to climb the hill for our country. And we have to climb the hill for all those things that are bothering us and that are bothering others in this world that we live. Everybody at the time knew that victory at that time didn't take place down there on the battlefield. They knew it took place up on the hill. And that's where you and I have got to be. We've got to be, if we are clad up in our armor, then the next thing is it's got to be prayer. Prayer has to come into the picture. Now, I want to tell you, it's easy to lose sight of the priority of prayer. It is so easy because we get tired of holding up our hands. And it doesn't become a priority. We get tired of praying. We get tired of asking. We get tired of beseeching the Lord and saying, Lord, 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 I need you to listen. And God is saying, keep holding up your arms. And then when you're holding up your arms, somebody else might have to come alongside and hold up your arms also. I want to read a scripture to you that closes out this passage of Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, 18 to 20 says this. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. He does say requests. So you get requests. You don't just have to tell him he's an incredible God. You get requests. We get requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Do you hear me? Keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Do we do that? Or do we just pray for ourselves? Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly and as I should. There's a lot packed in there. I think you can turn to the next slide. I think, if you would, maybe, yep. There's a lot of things he says here. He says, first of all, you need to be alert. You need to be alert because there's a battle going on, church. There's a battle. Be alert. Be ready. Be ready. The enemy is coming. And then he says, pray for others. Pray for me. Pray I won't be afraid. I want you to notice this. He doesn't say, pray for my circumstances to change. He doesn't pray for comfort and convenience. He says, pray that I will be faithful. Pray that I will be fearless. That kind of cuts through the butter real quick. That cuts really, really fast. These are keys to winning the victory. This is a key of spiritual warfare. That we are praying for one another, that we are asking prayer from one another, that we are going to our brothers and sisters in Christ. You going, and me going to each other and saying, I am failing in this regard. And you know, part of the reason we don't do that, stinking pride. We don't want other people to know that we're hurting. We don't want other people to know that we're failing. We don't want other people to know that our marriage is a sham. We don't want other people to know that our husband is a bum. We don't want them to know. And so we just let it go. And we miss it, and we miss it, and we miss it. It is so worth noting that Paul, now listen, don't check out. Paul is in chains. His wrist and his feet are in chains. Chains, you ever had a chain on any part of your body that's really big? They hurt. And long term, they rub sores. And it's bad. And guess what was in that prison? There was rats, and there was feces, and there was all kinds of horrible things going on. He didn't ask, get me out of chains. He didn't ask, get me out of chains. You know what? That's always our first prayer. Get me out of pain. Get me out of the hole that I'm in. Get me out of this situation. And he doesn't do that at all. He doesn't pray for his circumstances to change. He doesn't pray for comfort. He doesn't pray for convenience. He prays that he'll be fearless and faithful. There's a good prayer to pray today. So we're going to split my lesson up today in two parts. In just a moment, we're going to have communion. But I want to talk about it a little bit before Bob comes and shares with you. In the Old Testament, prayers were pictured as incense that were lifted up to God, and he smelled the prayers. He could literally see that coming up, and he took the praise, and he took the request, and he did it. And all through the Old Testament, there was always prayers going up to the Father, prayers of those who believed in God. And then you come all the way back in the New Testament to the last book of the Bible, verses 5, 8. There's this heavenly scene, and John is called up and he caught up to see what's going on in heaven. And here's what he says: he gives this funny, strange talk. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding, now here's where we're going to go with this, they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people throughout all the ages. I put down here, not bowls, but plates, because they won't go against, I couldn't find a bowl that wouldn't burn up, and I didn't want to put glass. So these are fire-retardant plates that we're going to light up here in just a minute. You guys can start lighting. These are going to represent the bowls, the 24 bowls. You're going to see them right here. They're going to be lit in just a minute. And I want you to understand that this represents the prayers of everybody. That's what's talking about when it says that. There's 24 elders. And these 24 elders got a harp, and they've got these golden bowls of all the prayers of people up to that point. And now, all the people up to this point, they're up there. All your prayers are in those bowls, those 24 bowls. There's some deep, deep bowls there, okay? So it doesn't matter that I don't have a bowl here. It just matters that you understand. There's 10 up here, 14 on the stage. So there's 24 bowls. And there's this time of prayer that we're going to do at the end here, and we're going to pray together. Imagine that in church. We're going to get together, and we're going to pray. And we're going to pray for each other, and we're going to pray for God to do some things in our church's life, in the life of the country. And so what we're going to do is we're going to ask God to fill up these bowls with some of the things going on in your life today. And you're going to pray for some of those things. And you're going to pray for those things, and they're going to empty into these bowls. And I want you to know that those elders are seeing it, that God is seeing it, that Jesus is seeing it, and he is taking it into advisement. Now, be sure when you pray here in just a moment, be sure that you pray and you give him praise and you thank him and you tell him that you love him. Then use your request. Then go to him with your request as we talk about those requests in just a second. And so at communion, I think you can go to the next slide. There we go. Communion celebrates victory, and it celebrates that God hears us, and that's what we're going to talk about right now. I'm going to let Bob come up, and so we're going to have a time of communion with God and Bob. So here goes Bob. Bob is not God. Not even close.
Good morning. In what Jeff's been sharing, there's another section of Revelation where John really expresses and epitomizes, I think, what a lot of us feel and experience, which is a great deal of fear. Because there was a scroll, and as we have this picture of these bowls of incense and these 24 elders and the four living creatures, there was a scroll, and it was said that, was there anyone worthy to open the scroll? We sing a song about this as well. So I think the challenge we have is we come to this time of communion, and why do we celebrate communion? Well, Jeff's kind of laying that out for us in a pretty profound way, but maybe more directly is, what are we celebrating? And then I thought more about it, why do we call it a celebration? Honestly, if it's the death of Jesus, we hardly want to celebrate that. And we cannot talk about the resurrection, which is worthy of celebration, without acknowledging his horrific death on the cross. So then, what are we celebrating? And I think maybe it is this. Just as John was stressed and bothered and really flummoxed that there was apparently no one worthy to open the scroll, only to be told that there is one worthy, and that is Jesus. And so I think maybe when we celebrate that he is worthy. He alone is worthy to be celebrated. You know, Pastor Jeff shared about these 24 elders with their 24 bowls of prayers. And these prayers are presented, and they have the confidence, the elders do, and the four creatures, to present all of these things to Jesus. But what is that confidence based in? It's based in the fact that he alone is worthy. And he is really more than worthy, he is trustworthy. That is why the four living creatures and the 24 elders confidently presented the prayers of the saints to Jesus. They acknowledged his worthiness and his trustworthiness. When we take this time to celebrate communion, we do all the things we know to do. But what is most important is that we trust Jesus with our incense bowls. The prayers that we offer up during this time, each week, they are the sweet aroma of honesty to Jesus. Don't just give him shallow thoughts. Speak the deep truths that are echoing around in your hearts. This is the time. This is the reason we celebrate. Celebrate now the worthiness of our Savior, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, your Son alone is worthy. He is worthy to open everything for us to be with you. I pray as we commune right now that we would commune sincerely, deeply, honestly, powerfully through our prayers to you. May you receive them as the sweet aroma of honesty that raises up from this place to you. And may they be presented to you in such a way that you understand that we celebrate the worthiness of Jesus, the trustworthiness that you hear our prayers and that you show us what we need to know. Amen.
Thank you, Bob. So this whole last week, I've been praying for you. I got the list of names of everybody in our church, and every day I prayed for every one of you. I prayed that God's love and his power and his heart would come, and it would just be on your life today in this service, that you would begin to take prayer very seriously. I know there's some of you that do, but I know some of you don't. I think you view it as something you say at supper or lunch or breakfast, and it's not that kind of prayer. It's a prayer that's an all-day kind of thing. It's a prayer that's on all occasions, from the time you get up out of bed, the time your head hits the pillow. You are in a conversation with God. And so what we're going to do in closing our lesson out today is we're going to do something that we don't often do in church, and we're just going to take some time to pray. And you're going to be, these next few minutes will be as superior and as cool as you make them. If you will use this time and use it wisely, I think it can be life-changing for you. If you just flitter it away and you think about how close forward it is we get out of here and all that kind of stuff, I think this will be an exercise for you that will not be any count. What I want to do is help you see the template to lay out how to do this on a daily basis. And some of you, you don't have to do it the way I'm saying, but get a plan and start working that out. So what we're going to do is I'm going to give us a couple of guardrails to start out here. In just a minute, we're going to pray with each other. You're going to, right where you are, you can maybe go stand. If your family's here and they're somewhere else in the other side or something, you can go stand by them. I'd like families to be together. I think that would be nice. If you're here by yourself, go sit by somebody else in just a moment that maybe is sitting by themselves and just say, can I pray with you today? And I know it's hard to do that, and you're not going to be praying to them. You're praying to God. And I know some of you are going, Jeff, this is not cool, and I don't want to do this. And I'm just saying, where else can God's people get together but in church and pray? And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to do what the Bible says, to pray on all occasions. And one of the occasions we're going to start with is the occasion of this service this day. And so what we're going to pray for, here's the guardrails. We're going to pray for God's heart. Matthew 6 says that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that word will is an important word. Anybody want to guess what the word will means? It means the seat of the heart, where the heart rests. The will of God is done at the seat of God's, seat of God. Now listen, there's a lot of things I don't know. I don't know all of God's will for my life, but I know some things are God's will for my life. And you're like, I came in here today and I don't know what God's will is for my life. Then that would be a good place to start. God, what is your will? But the word will is this heart. So we want to know the heart of God, what God's heart is. So what is God's heart for me? His heart for us is that it's that he wants us to have a close relationship with him. He wants our kids to be known. He wants our kids to know who he is. He wants you to be known. He wants you to come alongside him. He wants you to understand that he is your friend, that he is also your God. His heart is that you will love, you will serve, and you will forgive others, even those that have hurt you horribly. Even those that have hurt you horribly. So we're going to pray for God's heart. And so when you're praying, remember, you want it to be God's heart. What is God's prayer for your heart? What does he want for your heart? Then we're going to pray for that it's God's way and not my way. So many of us, when we pray, God, get me out of these chains. They're hurting. And today, God may be saying to you, maybe you ought to pray to be faithful. You ought to pray to be fearless. So we need to learn how to lean into his wisdom, how to his timing and his heart, not for what we want, because so much of what we do is what we want, not what God wants. So much of what we do, and I've said this before, we ask God, God, I'd like to do this, and then get on board with this, God, would you? Get on board with what I'm doing. And God's going, no. You need to get on board with what I'm doing. Because remember, I laid out a plan for you years ago, and you need to be getting to the plan. You need to get to the cutout for God's life for you. So it's the way. And then lastly, we're going to pray for his power, for his power. And I think this lacks in the church, not just our church, almost every church that I see. I just want to remind this room today, and we're talking about this, at some point, some of us in this room have forgotten that we serve a God that can do impossible things. We serve a God that can do things that we never thought were possible. We stop praying for him to do the impossible, and he wants to remind you today, through the prayer time we're going to have in just a moment, that he can do the impossible. Whatever it is that's going on in your life, he can do the impossible. Whatever it is, he can do the impossible. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says this, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but it is a matter of power. Listen to me. It's a matter of power. And whose power? God's power, not your power. Your power stinks. Your power, you get tired. You get tired. His power doesn't. It has no bounds. It has no end. It has no equal. You can't understand his enormous power. The power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. That same power that nobody else in human history has ever been able to do. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray, and we're going to ask God for some grace, because I know most of you are going, Jeff, this is a bad idea. I know you've said it in your head already. Jeff, I don't want to do this. I don't want to pray. I don't pray out loud. I don't pray. No, I don't want to pray here. I don't want to pray there. I don't want to pray anywhere. That's not what you're saying, but you're saying, I don't want to pray with somebody, because it is weird. It's different. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. It should be our go-to. It should be the thing where we can pray for each other. We can come alongside each other. And so in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Not right now, but I'm going to ask you to stand up. I'm going to ask you to be with whoever it is you want to stand by. Don't be by yourself right now. There's going to be some times you might want to break off and pray by yourself if there's some things that you want to talk to God about, okay? But we're going to do it out loud. We're going to do it softly. We're going to do it in order. I don't want you, the idea today right now is we're starting out. We're starting everybody from ground zero, okay? How do I do this? How do I pray? And so you're going to very softly just say out what the things that I'm going to guide us. And I'm even going to guide you today a little bit. And so I want you to pray for those things. I'm going to give you some time to do those things. And then when we're done, I'm going to pray. The band's going to come up. And we're going to have a ministry time. If you feel the need to come to the front and you want to just pray here at the altar while we're doing this, you can do that. If you want to pray on the side, you can do that. Whatever is in your heart, just do it in order. Do it in the sense that you're sitting there. I don't want you to go praying. Just see what God has for you as you pray here in just a moment. So the first thing we're going to pray about is we're going to pray for the church, okay? So everybody, please stand. If you can stand, I know some of you have a hard time with that, but if you don't, please stand. And the lights, please. Thank you. I don't want you looking around at other people. This will be about eight or 9 minutes, and then we'll be done, okay? So stay with me. So we're going to pray for the church together. And the church is not your pastor. You are the church. You are the church. So I want you to look around the room. When you're doing this, I want you just to pray, and then pray for yourself, pray for your pastor, pray for the leaders of this church, pray for the church, pray for the church worldwide right now. Take a moment or two and just pray right where you are. And if you'd like to go stand by somebody, don't stand by yourself, okay? Don't just be there by yourself. Just ask, can I come stand by you and pray alongside of you? And so all you're going to do is pray out loud softly. You're not praying to the other people. You're praying to God. You're not praying for them to hear you. You're praying to God. Do you get me? You get what I'm saying? You're not praying to other people. You're praying to God. Take this time. Fill the bowls up. Go ahead. All right, I'm going to keep aiming you. It's okay to pray while somebody else is praying. Remember, you're not praying to hear this. You're praying to God. Number two, we're going to pray over our country and our community. 1 Timothy 2 says this, I urge them first of all, petitions and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and for all those in authority, whether we like them or not, that we pray, that we live in peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness. And so what's his heart? What's his way in this matter? His way is that we would pray for our country, that we would pray for our community, we would pray for the teachers in our community, that we would pray for the people in our neighborhoods, the ones that we know, the people that we see at the gas station, that we see at Meijer, that we see at Walmart. We're going to pray for those people right now. So one, two, three, go right ahead. Okay, we're going to continue to aim you. I know this is hard for some of you, but you're doing really good. Remember, it's not a prayer circle. Just say it out loud. God understands what you're saying. So we're going to pray for our families. By families, I mean your family. Your family. If you don't have much of a family or they're not here or they're whatever, you still need to be praying. If you're single, if you're married, you're a part of a family. But here's what we're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're seeing divisiveness in our nation. We're seeing divisiveness, and it's coming against the home, and it's tearing the home apart. And the devil wants to tear the family structure together. He intended for the family to be the very structure and the fabric that takes his word forward. And he is trying to derail. He's trying to diminish your role as a family. So right now, in just a second, I want you to pray for your family, even if they're not here. And you and God, you talk to him in yourself right now. Go right ahead. Fill up the bowls. And for the last one, I'm going to aim you right at you. I'm going to aim you right at you. I'm going to ask you to pray for me. Pray for you. Not for me, for you. Pray for you. Do ask God to do the impossible, his heart over you, his trust, his timing, his way. In just a moment, the band's going to come, and they're going to softly start to pray while you keep praying, and they're going to keep playing, and then I'm going to pray over you. So take some time and do that as the band comes forward. Pray right where you are. If you need to separate from the group as you pray for yourself, that's fine. Pray for God to do the impossible in me. If you're finished, what I'd like you to do is join hands with the people across the aisle. Just go over and grab somebody's hand and get everybody, at least in your aisle. If you don't want to cross the aisles, I understand. A lot of that going on in our country. But not today. Not here. Hold the hand of the person next to you, and I want to pray for you and with you. And the band's going to lead us in a time of ministry. I know I'm very proud of you. I'm proud that some of you tried. I'm proud that some of you, I know some of you want more. I know some of you want, like, I never want to do that again. And I know some of you, God wants to, he wants to speak into your life right now. He wants to tell you some incredible things about his love for you, about his mercy, about his grace. He wants to heal your brokenness. He wants to stop the indecisiveness that's going on with you. He wants to take the things that are going on in your head, and he wants to remove them for good. So if you bow your head and close your eyes, I want to pray with you, and then the band's going to have our time of ministry. And if God is moving in you, feel free to come to the altar. Be sure and talk to me afterwards if there's something that God's brought to your mind. Let's go. Father, we need you. We need your heart again. Father, we need to lean into your ways. Our wisdom, it's not cutting it. And Father, we need your power. We need your power in a major way. Father, we need you to turn the tide in our lives, in our country's life. We need you to topple a nation in a day, in a moment that is just so divided. Father, we ask again to do the impossible. Do the impossible in our leaders. Bring repentance. Break us of our pride. Father, allow us to come before you right now as people that have been redeemed and renewed and restored. Do something in our day that will remind people of your greatness and your goodness and your glory. Do it through us. Repair broken relationships. Father, we pray over our friends and our coworkers right now. Father, we need your wisdom for our families and what to do. And we pray, would you do the impossible in our families? Would you shake up the atmosphere when your church prays, impossible things happen? Father, you were there in that room before we took our first breath. You were there when we skinned our knee. You were there when that thing that shouldn't have happened happened to us. And you were there. You weren't distant. You won't be distant. You can't be distant. And Father, you long to show up. You long to show up in power. So we ask you to do the impossible as we pray in this unseen army, these people that are praying on the hill right now for the battle, that we're praying for the battle that's going on in each other's lives. God, let this not be just a one-time thing. Let us truly have your heart. Let us truly have your power. Let us truly live in your way. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and God is speaking to your heart and there's something he wants you to do, this is the time to do it. See what God will do in you.
You have no
What a good day to be a part of the family of God. It is so good to have been together with you today. Just keep reminding yourself that you're filling up the bowls. Fill up the bowls. They won't overrun. God hears them all. He every tear, every fear, every inconsistencies going on in your life, every doubt, God's got an answer for whatever it is that's going on in your life. And he wants to fill you up with his plan. He wants to set you loose on fire in this world so that you make a difference where you go. He doesn't want us being milquetoast. He doesn't want us just barely eking by and going through and just people don't know who we are and they don't see a smile on our face and they don't see the love of Jesus in our life. He wants to come in your life, and the plan that he laid out for it, he wants to just set it going on fire. And that's what he wants to do in you today. So keep praying for his heart, keep praying for his way, and keep praying for all the things, the power that he has that is so deep and so wide and so fulfilling for those that will tap into it. Enough of this petty stuff that we get caught up in every day. We're so incensed about this. We're so mad about this. And yet we let so many people go every day to hell. Yet every day we just okay, I can't do that. I can't pray for others. I can't pray with others. I'm shy. I'm not built that way. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're just not letting your light shine. God will do it in your way, in your personality, in your giftedness. He'll do it. Incredible work. Let me pray with you. And I think Abby's got something for us. And you can go home. Jesus, what a powerful name you have. We thank you for the resurrection power that we have. And God, help us to tap into it, to remember as we head towards Easter that it is not about this, what the world has made it, but it is about we are free as Christians to walk in the power, in the name of Jesus, and to take territory for the kingdom of God while we live. We don't have to go to our graves just a Colts fan. We don't have to go to our graves just a good fisherman. We don't have to go to our graves just a nice guy, a nice lady. We can go to our grave knowing that we have taken others with us, that we have shown others who you are. And God, the only way we're going to do that is if we get our eyes off of ourselves and put it on others. So we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we say all things. Amen. I encourage you to have an incredible week. I encourage you to be careful as you go on spring break. So many of our people are already on spring break. Have a safe trip, and we'll see a lot of you probably back in April. See you. God bless. Let's see what Abby says.
Good morning, Impact Christian Church. My name is Abby Lucas, and I just have a few announcements about what is going on here at ICC. There is no youth group for the next 2 weeks. If you have a teen that is going to Fusion, please make sure you get paid in the next couple of weeks for the trip. And if you have any questions, please come and see me. Starting on April 1st, we have a six-week parent study that is going to be happening here at the church from 6:30. And we are also providing childcare. So if you are a parent, please come. Camp early registration is going to be starting April 6th, so please make sure you get your child signed up for camp. On April 6th, we're going to be having a short little service for Brenda and her 22 years she is dedicated to here at Impact Christian Church. On March 1st, Tiffany Lips officially took over for the secretarial duties, so please bring a card or a small gift to say thank you to Brenda. Tiffany and I just have a few more shirts left to sell, so if you have any questions, please come see us. Camp work day is going to be April 5th from 10 to 2. If you're interested, please go see Pastor Jeff. Well, ICC, that is all the news I have for you. I hope you have a blessed and awesome week, and we'll see you next week. Bye.